Good morning or good afternoon. Nice to see you all. My name is Rob. As Gordon says, I'm the rector in the parish, and it's great to have you all. Hands up who doesn't know what a rector is. No. For those who are visiting from another background, a rector is essentially someone who does everything that other people won't do, essentially. No, he's the leader of this parish and these congregations together. And I'm going to speak to you with, then at the end, an opportunity to interact with what I'm going to be speaking on. At our recent church weekend away, there was a real sense of God bringing us together as one and encouraging us to press in, to seek God, and to look together to what's next. So over the last series of talks, we've been looking at this idea of seeking God together and resetting our hearts. And so the last series of talks have been about this resetting. And then on Easter Sunday, we had this joint celebration of all three congregations coming together. And the weekend away, you might not have been there, but it was a very significant time for us, and we will be running another one, and you'll be very welcome to that. But as we move into a new set of talks, looking at, after this resetting, what exactly constitutes Holy Trinity? What are we about? What defines us? What is God calling us into? Our values, our vision, who we are? And I read them off a piece of paper. And what rings in my ears is one thing I remember when I was working in business, and that is, vision is not to be cast, it's got to be caught. And so if the values of our community are just as I've read out, without there being a sense of, I'll just go back, Ella, it'll be great just for a sec, I'll get there, cool. If the values are just about what I'm reading out without us actually catching them, they are just exactly just words on a piece of paper. And I just have a deep, deep conviction in my own heart that these are something that we need to invite each other into afresh. I find as a church leader, it is so difficult at the moment in the current climate to actually do church. You're coming against all sorts of things. Rejection is the biggest one. I'm not talking about myself personally. I'm so thankful that I have a great community and you don't all reject me. Not all of you. There is some, and I know who you are. But externally, there is a sense of rejection around church and community for very good reasons, actually, because of our history in Ireland. And so we want to invite you in. So these won't just be words on a page, but they'll be values of your life, wherever you are in the trajectory of faith. And I really want you to hear that from me. If you're visiting, if you've been here for a long time, if you're listening online, I'd like to challenge you that this is a fresh invitation. So what are these values? These are values that God put on our heart in Holy Trinity at the very beginning. And some of you weren't there. And you hear a story of someone who's been on holidays and they're a couple that might have been in America or Canada or wherever. Wasn't it wonderful to be there? And you weren't. And you feel left out and you feel distant from that. It means nothing. But God is reawakening these values again in the life of Holy Trinity. And so the invitation is afresh for us to distill them. They're behind me now. Thank you, Ella. The love of God, which I'll speak about this morning. That we would be a community that reaches out, not just a holy huddle. That our diversity, but unified through Jesus, would be the opposite of the world, which is individualized and separate. We'd embrace old and new. We're a parish of three congregations. But more than that, the tradition where we've come from, but the prophetic future would merge together. And lastly, serving the city. And I want you to look or listen to those values and own them. I'd love you to reflect on them, pray into them, because a vision is not caught, just communicated. It's useless and the people of God perish. So that is a challenge to actually be a part of this in a fresh and new way. And we use this idea of an oak tree, which is simply a teaching tool. It's also an image that God gave us at the beginning for each of these values. But today, we want to invite afresh into these values and distill but not deconstruct them. We want to invite you to the table. And so this image for our next series is inviting the church, whether here or listening online, afresh to sit at the table and digest these values. Come and join us for dinner. Consider how they apply to you in your life and those around you. And so we're starting that today with this value of sustained by the love of God. And this will be interactive. As you can see from Gordon, we have tried to make our church more interactive on Sundays, but also looking at what it means during the week and how we interact during the week. So today will be interactive, and there will be opportunity for you to respond on this value, so it's not just a piece of paper, it's something that impacts your life. So we start today with this value of being sustained by the love of God. Being sustained by the love of God. In the image of the oak tree, my background is forestry, but the oak tree is one of the most pioneering species in Ireland. It needs light to thrive. Without the light, it becomes stagnant and it becomes lethargic. It becomes not what it's supposed to be. And so this is the same and true for our faith. If you don't have the light of Jesus and his love that's actually sustaining you, it becomes a legalistic club that you are part of, that you go to the rigmarole of just being in, but that out it igniting passion and change in your heart. And I think so many people in Ireland today, that's all it is. And I get that because I think the church has failed in communicating love to people in Ireland today. And that's why we're so separated. Just look at the referendum. Rubicon discussions this Thursday will be looking at the referendum, but in this context of love and conversation and not separation and judgment. So God's love and how he loves you beyond anything should be right at the center of what sustains you. Whether you have never heard this message or you've heard it for 50 or 60 years, God's love and how he loves you beyond anything should be right at the center and sustain all else. And just before Jesus went to the cross, before he went to that place for the ultimate act of love, he said this to the disciples, that love should sustain you and be at the center. Before you come to church, before you do anything, understanding this love. And so the manifesto of a company might be X. It might be the manifesto of Nike, you can do it, or a manifesto of any company might be something like a tagline about what you do in order to get buy-in. The manifesto of Jesus is not about what you do, it's about what has been done for you. And so before Jesus went to the cross, in John 15:9-7, his manifesto to his disciples who were in a quite a legalistic community of Judaism. That's not a disparaging comment around Jewish brothers and sisters. It was a legalistic framework where love had been lost. Love had been lost. And Jesus was eating with them at a table. He invited even the one who would betray, the one who would turn his back, the confused, the destitute, the zealous. He invited them all to the table, and he turned and he said to them at some time during the meal, in John 15:9-17, he said, as the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. Let my love sustain you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. My love will sustain you. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in my love, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. Not my legalism, not my judgment, not my separation, but my joy would be in you. And may be in you, and that this joy would be full, not meager, not come to Mass just to be a little bit accepted or come to church to just get a little bit of wisdom, but be full of love, because that's what I feel about you. This is my commandment, not this is what I think is good or this is what you should do or this is what maybe is okay. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I don't see much love in the current referendum debate. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. Love, joy, friendship. Love, joy, friendship. Not hatred, not bitterness, and not servanthood. Where do you exist in this feeling in your own faith of love? Now, I want to use a teaching tool to help us really get this. Here I have a little illustration, which is amazing, isn't it? So professional. I spent hours trying to work it out. But we as a teaching team want this to be interactive. All I've said and all I've talked about love, joy, friendship, knowing the love of Jesus in our heart, even if we're far from God, even if what I'm saying is boring or you don't buy into it, it's still true, because something is either true or it's not. It can't be half true. But in life, and unfortunately, the circumstances of our life wrap this message up. It gets lost. It gets separated. We so easily forget this manifesto, and we get into the other things of life and forget what's at the center, which is being sustained by the love of God. So we need to rip them off. We need to do this together. We need to rip these things off. And we have to be intentional about ripping. We rip the layer of it could be people's expectation of you. We rip off the layer that could be the hard times of life. We rip off the layer of your image and how you have to be a certain thing on Facebook. We rip off the layer of busyness. We rip off the layer of hurt and anger and separation. And at the center is love. This image of love. I got this cross at my ordination 11 years ago. It was given to me by a woman who was going through a dreadful divorce at the time. It was brutal. She spent all the time crying in church. They just couldn't be together. It was tragic. And she gave me this cross, and it was made out of oak. It was made in Ireland. And she asked the guy who made it, just for me, she asked, would you smash it a little bit? Would you put little holes in it? Would you make it so it looks ugly and it looks broken, it doesn't look smooth? Because all of these things, hurt, brokenness, separation, image, the things of life, expectations, they're all placed here. They're not meant to be on you. And so we need to unwrap, We need to rip off, sometimes daily, sometimes by minute, sometimes by second, reminding ourselves at what is the center of our faith. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. There is no greater love for no one than this, that I would lay down my life for you, my friends. You are my friends. Do what I command. Love each other. God's sustaining love is best shown in the cross, which is the power of God's love in action. Romans 1:16 says, Paul speaking, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to Jew, then to Gentile, to everyone, in other words, in those times. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And that word gospel, when you hear it, you think of signs on a bus. You're going to hell, or you think of something. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died for you so that you don't have to live a wrapped up life under the burden of people's expectations, under the burden of hurt, under the burden of busyness, under the burden of image. But we do. I do. So we need to unwrap again and again so we remind ourselves that we as a church, as a community, need to be sustained by God's love first and foremost. So when we think of the gospel and this good news that Paul talked about, let's not be ashamed of this. Let's not be judgmental with it. Let's not shove it down people's throat. Let's not be the ones who push people away. But let's be outward reaching in saying, you're so loved. You're so loved. It's unbelievable. Jesus loves you, which can sound weird even when you hear it. But if they knew that a friend had given up their life for them, they'd come running home and be thankful. Jesus used stories to talk about his love. He didn't use legalism. He told stories. He told images like, if you lose a coin, forget about everything else and go and find that coin. Or if you have a treasure and it's in a field, buy that field and do whatever you can to get the treasure because it's so important. Or there was a man, he had a son, he loved his son, but his son just needed some time to get away. He needed to learn about his own life. And he ran away, and his father stood there looking for him. And where is he? Where is he? Waiting, waiting. Where is my son? And then he sees him, and the son realizes the life he's living is far away from where his father is. He says, I'm so ashamed. I feel like a servant. I have no joy. I don't feel like this sense of John 15. There is no joy. There is no love. There's just slavery. His father's like, oh, he's there. There he is. Oh, come home. Come home. Please come home. And he sees him turn around. He runs. And he's running. He's gone. Yes, my son. And he does three things. He embraces him. He kisses him. And he says, I'm joyful because my son has returned. Love welcomes him home. In that running back, the prodigal son is unwrapping all these things, expectation, image, loneliness, hurt. He sees his father. He doesn't know what's going to happen. His brother hates him, but yet he knows it's home. He knows he has a table there that he's welcomed. Embrace and love and joy. I think this quote sums it up mostly about this idea of love and the welcome and the embrace and be sustained. It's from a guy called Henri Nouwen. Our Maker's love is a pure gift, unearned and free. We are free to relate with the source of life or not. You're free to do what you want. A greater love embraces all the love that you and I have ever known, from Father, mother, spouses, brothers, sisters, children, teachers, friends, partners, even counselors. Welcoming unconditional love automatically makes us more like the unconditional lover. Divine love lasts forever. That's eternal. Those layers are not. Don't be bogged down with the layers. Be sustained by the love. And this affects us, and this changes us, how we relate to the world. If we live wrapped up, scared lives in the pigsty, not at home with the embrace and the joy and the friendship, we judge people. We say, why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? But when you see people as Jesus sees them, you stand there waiting for them to turn around, and you do the same for them. Philip Yancey says this, one who has been touched by grace will no longer look on those who stray as those who are evil people or those poor people who need our help. Nor must we search for signs of loveworthiness. Grace, our God-sustaining love, teaches us that God's love because of who God is, not because of who you are. Not because of all these layers that you put around yourself. Jesus wants you and me to constantly come home. Or as Mumford and Sons say, it's the welcome you receive at each restart. And so you might be a Christian for a long time. You might not be a Christian at all. You might listen to what I'm saying and say, yeah, that's whatever. God still looks at you and loves you because you're his son or his daughter. But we need to constantly shed these layers. And so that's why the manifesto with Jesus at a table was an invitation to friendship, to joy, and to love. Not the opposite. So what is sustaining you? What is at the center of your life? What about these layers? As a church leader, I constantly go back to my own capacity. I was brought up with, it's no disrespect to my upbringing, but brought up, I was a prefect in school, I was the captain of the rugby team, I swam for Ireland in 1988 in a sort of mini Olympic thing. My family are mostly high achievers, apart from my sister who's here, and she's amazing. I was brought up with the don't let people see who you are. Be the best that you can be. Build layers around, and it's essentially about that external. But as my family and my mum particularly came in touch with this, and my father, they taught me about the importance of shedding the layers. And so today, in front of you as your pastor or your rector, I'm shedding these layers. And I'm inviting you home, whether listening online or in a pew. Throw off the layers and come home. And what I'd like us to do as a response is something which is interactive. The prodigal son, he had to run home. He had to turn around. But he saw in his father's eyes that welcome of joy, of embrace, of a kiss. I'd love us to spend some time just inviting Paul back up, and as we close out our time together, just very briefly, in this response, in having an opportunity to throw off the layers, the things that separate us, I read out some very personal things which I do constantly put around myself. Busyness, expectations, a fear of man, hurt, anger, sickness, whatever it is. But I've just got to a point in my life where I'm happy with knowing I'm a friend and I'm loved and I need to constantly come home for that restart. And so I'd love us to actually respond by writing some of these layers on a piece of paper and either ripping them up and putting them in this bin, or if you're really serious about starting again, shred them. For those online, you can't do this, but you can practice it by buying a shredder in Argos for $9.99. But we'd love to just get Paul back up to play. We'd love you to come forward and write the things down that are stopping you from being sustained by God's love. The layers, you don't have to do this. You can sit and reflect. But please, if you're doing it, really think about it and actually unwrap afresh and realize that it's only by God's sustaining love that we can truly exist and not just survive. So Paul, if you just maybe play there and come forward, write these layers down, the things that are stopping you from experiencing this love, and shred them or rip them. And we'll just spend this time doing it together as an interactive community. So Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for this welcome home. Thank you that you welcome everyone home who turns around and realizes in their sin and their brokenness, in that living away from you and living under legalism is just not the way forward. So help us, Lord, to do business with you. Help us to restart. As that quote from Henri Nguyen is, remember, your love is eternal. And it's not about us, it's about your love, your sustaining love. So help us be a community like that, Lord, that doesn't judge, that just loves. But help us be serious about sin and brokenness and separation. And so we give this time to you now, in Jesus' name. So over to you. Pens are there, papers there, bins there, and shredders there.